Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace be unto peace unto you, and peace from our God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of these days directs our gaze toward the fields of the shepherds of Bethlehem. It is a quiet night of watching. With the eyes of our hearts, we can see a fire burning that gives us warmth to the shepherds. It must have felt good in the middle of the darkness and cold of the night. A campfire that was burning just for the shepherds. Who were these shepherds? They were the ones that were in their time and in their day. They were called the silent group. They had an occupation that was important in and of itself, but in some respects they were disregarded and put down. And one indication of this is that a shepherd could not be a witness at a trial. This shows that they were part of a lower class. But in some way, these shepherds were also a part of the greater majority. To that majority, of which it has been said, and of which perhaps we have been able to read in school, it says, when the time had become fulfilled, God sent his Son onto the earth. These shepherds were part of that majority who were awaiting this, or waiting for this. This majority was looking for change. They knew that the distress of that time would soon be over. God himself was soon to come to contribute to the history. And new flames were started of love and mutual respect. The silent majority. That's who were there on that night of the shepherds. Their hearts had been prepared. The hearts of these poor people had been prepared because the angel of God declared, and this declaration made them rush toward the manger. And the two words that were expressed at that time were, now Bethlehem. God had prepared their hearts to take action. In that message, now Bethlehem, there was a simple and clear message. They had all been promised joy. To this group had been promised joys, but also the great majority had been promised a joy because the angel had said to all nations, the Savior had been born onto earth. The poor shepherds had seen and acknowledged him at night, and that warm campfire was near her. They had been seen. God's eyes and God's angels had seen these poor people on the edges. The common and the private struggle of the hearts had been acknowledged by God's eyes. And with the escorts of the angels, they were able to go and witness that which God had declared unto them. They were the witnesses of change. From somewhere deep, the prophecy, prophetical words of the prophecy was coming, highlighted. Comfort, comfort, ye my people, speak ye to the people of Jerusalem and tell them that their time of distress has come to an end and their debt of sin has been paid. Dear listeners, there is a lot of long distance from the fields of the shepherds to the fields of the summer services. However, the message from the theme of the summer services, I shall declare a great joy unto you. It is a question, joy, which we are all asked to be led to. The same background of this joy of the shepherds. There is a joy that we are all striving toward. There is a new beginning which God has already prepared. There is a holy gaze of a God who notices distress and difficulties of today. There is a voice of angel who knows his own and gives the peace from the face of Christ. There is a unity of Christians which opens the gates to the world and into each other's hearts. On the field of shepherds today, we too can belong to that great majority, which in spite of everything that who experiences distress in this world. I shall explain a few things more clearly. The discussion in Finland regarding the summer hymn has been shocking. It's been difficult to see the disintegration of the base of values we have seen disintegrating among us, the great majority. Don't we have a right to have participation in that joy which has been given to us? When the summer is beginning, the national radio program gives its opinions on the topics. In the month of May, the reporter interviews the principal of a school who says, "I am seriously considering removing the summer hymn from the program." This is what he says after the reporter says, when the reporter says that over 90% of schools have some sort of prayer in them. The other principal says, "We sang the summer hymn because there was no ban on it." How can we understand this kind of drumming of atmosphere from the perspective of us great majority, us 4 million Christians in Finland? We remember a recent study conducted by a newspaper of Northern Finland, which gave a results that were very similar to the reporter of the national radio program. The study showed that the supporters of the summer hymn were three-fourths of young people who criticized society in general supported the summer hymn. We have heard a lot of feedback from the field. I just received some feedback from my own diocese, feedback that had great significance to me as a representative of Christianity in the North. For example, according to the survey organized or conducted of parents of a school in northern Finland, a questionnaire was given to the parents of 500 parents, and the question was, do they want their students to participate in school prayers and church functions? The survey was answered with 100%. Among all of the respondents that gave back, there was not one single respondent with a negative. The sense of justice of the great majority should not be denigrated or put down here. We should have the right to proclaim the message, and we should not give in to just having one or two verses. In the midst of our educated nation, it's difficult to understand, difficult to believe the thoughts of some people if you didn't actually see it and hear it with your own eyes and ears. This discussion about singing the summer hymn has certainly shown that it is a question of our identity and culture. As Christians, it is important for us to respect each other in our country, respecting everyone. Nobody should have the right to remove that source of joy that lives in each person's hearts. Dear friends, what kinds of campfire are you being heated by in the midst of this flock? Like the shepherds, do you feel the cold and the dark of night? Do you feel like some signs of the time have been destroying your own internal joy? If this is the case, I think I understand you, and I understand the anticipations of your heart. What have been those stigmas that your reality of your faith has been tried? These stigmas have been given from inside and outside. It is true that everyone makes mistakes, and these should be repented of daily. And there are things which shall be dealt with openly with the government or authorities when it is so required. But the joy of the great majority should not ever be prevented. We know what direction to take toward Bethlehem, to that place where there are only the small hands of Christ, but which are sufficient, which are enough to change the world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, joy is something that is born and it grows when it is shared with others. If there are internal reservations about your joy. It is a imprisoned joy. I hope that the campfire of joy can burn here. The high priest himself wishes to be watching around that campfire. He sees into every person's heart. He knows what we want, what we need. His voice calls you who are seeking. Perhaps, like the shepherd, you are on the edges. His grace is sufficient for all. It's sufficient for everyone that knows their condition. Jesus alone. He was once in the manger, existing for everyone, for all of creation. Alone, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the apostles were comfortable. Jesus was alone by the campfire, inviting the weary and the tired, wretched people toward him, for they had not received anything. And the chief shepherd says on the edge of the campfire, "Come, come." What joy would I wish to convey to all of you today? It is the joy, dear friends, which is revealed from the unity among Christians. It is also the joy which is revealed above all from receiving absolution or forgiveness of sins. Therefore, from this place, as a imperfect Christian, I wish to bring to you the greetings of heaven. They come from the heart of Christ, where the fire of love is burning. For you and for me is this fire of love. And this grace, these greetings bring the words of a new world. My son and my daughter, be of good comfort. You can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. On to peace, freedom, and joy. Dear friends, remain in the peace of God.